Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
To talk about the Browns' 23-9 loss in Pittsburgh, you know him, you love him. He's going to be joining us every single Monday at 4:40. The great Nathan Zagura, Browns analyst on the Fan Hotline right now. Nathan, welcome to the show, bud.
Thank you. Good to be with you guys.
Well, it's always great to have you here. I am interested. I mean, we were talking about this earlier about how to kind of quantify this loss, and it's like it's tough to really. To encapsulate it, because on one hand, there were some bad things that happened. On the other, it's like you were coming off London. You'd made the trades earlier last week. Like, there was a lot going against the Browns in this game. Do you consider that a bit of a schedule loss yesterday?
Well, every time you go out there, you have a chance to go out and win. Was it a tough situation? A Steelers team coming off of a bye, you coming back from London? Yeah, of course it was tough, but the NFL is tough, and division games on the road are tough, and you've got to find a way to do enough good to win games. And the Browns, unfortunately, it's kind of some of the same things, right? It's penalties on offense. It's drop passes. It's, you know, inopportune plays on special teams. Even if I do think that was a tough call on Cam Thomas running in the punter that extended a drive that led to a touchdown at a time when the game was, you know, 9-3, very much in the balance in the third quarter. So it's just, yeah, it's unfortunately, it's just kind of a combination of a lot of things. Good. If there's a good, they haven't turned the ball over in two games, that's good, but they've got to find a way to score a lot more points, to be a lot more explosive on offense. And those are the two biggest things that are the difference between this team being able to win and this team not winning football games.
Nathan, I said last segment, I have a really hard time trying to figure out how to grade out Dylan Gabriel when you have the offensive line, not even the injuries and the poor play there, and then the drops that happened with the receivers. It felt like a hard game to grade Dylan. Were you able to, and if you were, how did he do?
Well, I agree. There are some challenging circumstances, but like I'm trying to just boil it down to what I see from Dylan Gabriel when the pocket is clean. And there have been some very good things, but there are things that need to be better. His completion percentage, yards per attempt, his quarterback rating from a clean pocket need to be better. And I thought when he watched the game against Pittsburgh, there were multiple opportunities to push the ball down the field that were kind of schemed up that you would expect Dylan Gabriel to recognize and put the ball and give a chance to this offense. There's one off of a play action where he ends up completing a pass to Jamari Thrash over the middle, but he's got Isaiah Bond a few yards clear of the cornerback on that side with no safety over the top. Got to give him a chance on that play. There's another one in the third quarter where they run kind of a two-man concept where it's a dig off of the left. It's a post off the right. You're reading single high safety. If he comes down on that dig, you throw the post over the top of him. If he stays on the post, the dig's open. Well, Juan Thornhill came down on the dig and had an opportunity. Isaiah Bond was, again, a few yards clear of the corner. Just throw it out in front of him and give him a chance. Instead, he ended up checking it down, and it was kind of a busted play.
Nathan,
I think that
there
was a lot of good. I think there was a lot of good from Dylan in terms of some of the things that you saw him riff it, but he's got to kind of walk that balance of aggressiveness and understanding that at times you might have to put the ball in a little bit of harm's way to make plays, and I think that's the next evolution. Now, he was hit more than any quarterback's been hit this year. We dropped him back, you know, more almost 60 times with the 6 sacks, 52 passes. He got hit, I think, 14 to 17 times, depending on which website you look at for the quarterback hit. So it was a tough day. I'll tell you this. I respect his toughness. I respect his resiliency. But this is an offense that needs to make more plays and needs to put more points on the board.
Nathan Zagura, Browns analyst on the Fan Hotline. Can you walk us through with the big play that I think got a lot of highlights and reruns was Isaiah Bond getting donked in the helmet by a pass. And it didn't look like Isaiah was looking, you know, was Isaiah expecting the ball to go there? And just kind of walk us through what happened on that play, please.
without knowing everything that happened on the play pre-snap, it felt like there was some confusion as to who was going to line up where. Bond thought he was going to be on the right side. Jamari Thrash thought he was on the right side. So Bond actually goes over to the left side at the end of the play. You can see him looking at the sideline. He didn't know what, at that point, where he was, what the route was, I think, even got the word. And I think he just kind of went in there and, you know, clearly he wasn't looking for the ball. Now that close to the goal line, you'd like him to be looking for the football because that had a chance to be a touchdown. So I just think that was one that was maybe, you know, you get a guy in here who spent no time with us all off season at all. And he's kind of thrust into a big role. And I think if you watch, Isaiah Bond probably has more yards that just were never thrown to him on tape than maybe any receiver in the NFL right now. But with Cedric Tillman out, he's got to play a lot. I think it was just one of those, it was maybe a miscommunication. Obviously, you wish he had his head around, and that's one obviously that's been played a lot. But it's kind of one of those bang-bang plays, and it just happens. Unfortunate.
Nathan, a lot of fans seem to be upset with the lack of amount of carries and touches for Quinshon Judkins. How did you see that as it played out? As they did give him the ball early, and I thought they gave the run game an opportunity early.
They did, but it's one of those things that's kind of, yeah, I think you've got to stick with that. I just think with our tackle situation, you know, it was tough. We couldn't stop the pass rush, as I mentioned, the 6 sacks earlier. But I also get that, you know, you're trying to score, and you're trying to score quickly as the game gets out of hand. I think if there was one situation that maybe you would look at and say, okay, could we have done this differently in retrospect? It's probably when you get first and goal to 3. I personally would just like to see Quinshon on the field there earlier in that drive. You brought Aiden Huntington in. You had the big kind of that jumbo package, that wishbone that we run, and the full house backfield. And you picked up 6 yards on 4th and 2 to extend that very same drive. So you get to 1st and 3. I'd like to see Judkins get an opportunity there because then I was talking about this with Joe Thomas today. That's a chance to just kind of establish an identity. I thought that the Steelers were very physical in this game. I think the Browns tried to match their physicality, but I thought the Steelers were a very physical team, and I thought that was an opportunity to be like, oh, yeah, watch this. We're going to go run it right down your throats, and unfortunately we never got that opportunity. It was a doink on the first down, a sack for 11 yards on 2nd down, and all of a sudden you're kicking a field goal.
Darryl Tyson Campbell made his Browns debut over the weekend, despite a short week since being acquired from Jacksonville. How do you think the Browns' newest corner fared on Sunday?
So I saw a lot of the reasons why the Browns are excited about him. You can see he's sticky in man coverage. Now, did he get beat deep? Now, the one that Aaron Rodgers underthrew, he slipped on that one, and this turf was terrible. I will say that. There were a lot of guys slipping and falling down. He slipped on that one. Now, he did get beat on the double move for the touchdown later on, 25 yards. That was just a good route, good throws. He came back as one of the best. But, you know, they went at him 7 times, only gave up 3 catches in coverage. I thought he had 2 passes defense. He had 2 PDPUs in the game. But he was sticky. Even when the first one that DK caught off the right sideline, that was kind of perfect coverage, just a better ball. It was similar very much so, honestly, to the one where Denzel was on Justin Jefferson on the sideline. In great position, and Carson Wentz just fitted in, and Jefferson made a great catch. But I think you saw, and especially in the run game, there's one play where he was in the backfield like a safety. He is physical, long. I think as it goes on, this is going to be very comfortable for him. If there was one knock on him coming out of college, one knock on him a little bit here in the NFL so far, it's finding the ball. And I think you saw a couple plays where had he gotten his head around and found the ball, he might have had interceptions. He's got good ball skills. He's got he's about 45 passes defense for his career, 6 interceptions, but that's kind of the next evolution. But I think you saw a lot of things that make you understand why they brought him in to play this defense and why that was a good move for the Browns.
How are you judging out Mason Graham so far? Past couple games, I look at it like he's, you know, a lot of attention's on Malik Collins, and the ball's just, the runners are just, they're going away from him, so it's really hard to see him around the ball when everyone is going towards Malik being double-teamed.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
It is, but Malik is making a lot of plays, right?
For sure.
Malik's your team leaders in pressures, in second in sacks, he's second in tackles for loss. So Malik Collins has been making a lot of plays. I think with Mason, it's one of those things that's hard to understand. I know they're pleased with what they've gotten from Mason Graham so far. It's one of those situations where sometimes, you know, what he does doesn't necessarily show up in the stat sheet. But let me say this, when you are the fifth overall pick in the draft, the things you do need to show up in the stat sheet. You're not drafted as a defensive tackle fifth overall to not rush the passer. And so I think for Mason Graham to start kind of delivering a little bit more on the investment that the Browns made in him in this draft, I think that's where we need to see. Jim Schwartz alluded to it early in the season. He went out and got a half sack. And that's his only half sack. Doesn't have a lot of quarterback pressures. Doesn't have a lot of tackles for loss. He had a couple of good rushes yesterday, but Aaron Rodgers got the ball out quickly. But still, I think that that's kind of the next level for me, is we need to see Mason Graham being more of an impact player in the pass game, getting into the backfield, getting sacks. And you need that. I think when you're picked fifth overall as a defensive tackle, that's somebody that you envision being a 6, 7, 8 plus sack a season guy. And so we need to see that from Mason Graham.
Nathan, why'd you just say 6, 7? You know, there are a bunch of parents with kids in their car that just had every kid just shout 6, 7. We can't just be saying 6, 7.
That's why I threw the 8 in there. That's why I kept it going.
Does it offset the 6, 7?
No, it really doesn't, because my kids just hear 6. I said 6 to 7 the other day, and it just...
What's the hand gesture with 6, 7? What's this about?
No.
It's like you're like juggling, but not... You're juggling invisible balls. It's kind of what it looks like.
Yeah. All right, one final one here. I'm not trying to put you on the spot, all right?
But you will.
But I will. Can you confirm or deny you aren't John Cena's final opponent?
I can confirm that I am not. That would be a tremendous honor, but for somebody way beyond my capabilities. I will say this, though. I saw a picture of a John Cena lookalike with John Cena. Have you seen this picture?
Oh, I saw that, too. Yeah, that was so cool.
Is that real? I mean, that guy looks exactly like John Cena. It's crazy.
I couldn't tell which one was actually John Cena.
Yeah, the one I think John Cena... The
hat or no hat?
Looks like a couple years ago John Cena, more than today John Cena.
The one that was in a little bit better shape than John Cena?
The one who was on the left, the left was the imposter.
Just a little bit better shape.
All right, we didn't need to go there. The man's retiring. Nathan, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you.
All right, guys, thank you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.